children, keep yourselves from idols. Little children, keep away from idols. These were some of the words of the Apostle John in his letter. We see this in 1 John chapter 5. Little children, keep away from idols. And what exactly did Apostle John intend to pass to us? What was he communicating to us? What are these idols that we have to keep away from? It's very easy to understand the language or that which the Apostle John intended to communicate to us. If you go quickly to the book of 1 John chapter 5, it's one scripture I read a lot, because I feel the whole essence of the gospel is revealed in these few sentences in 1 John chapter 5 from verse 18 to 21. So in order to understand what these idols are, we have to look back and, read the text from 1 John chapter 5 verse 18. We know that whosoever is born of God keepeth himself, or rather, whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. And we know that we who are called are of God. We who have this revelation are of God. And the whole world lies in wickedness. And we know the Son of God is come and has given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Then he says, little children, keep yourselves from idols. So you can understand here that first of all, John goes ahead to define what truth is. He defines what truth is in the eyes of God. And he's telling us here that the scope or that which the Son of God descended to do upon the earth is to reveal him that is true, that is to give us an understanding. To give us understanding of him that is true. He has come to educate us on him that is true, which is Christ Jesus, who in the eyes of God is all that there is. And in Christ Jesus is the embodiment of God, is the totality of God. In him is the life and the light of all men. So you can see the focus is a revelation of Christ, revelation of the truth. It's the revelation of the truth that gives us the victory and delivers us from the wicked one. So it is revelation of the truth that shifts us out of this realm called the world into another dimension or a realm called God's kingdom. The world lies in wickedness. The world is subject to the powers of hell and death. See, but we know that we are of God, we who receive this truth. We who receive the revelation of Christ are of God. Praise God. Now, anything that does not reveal Christ is an idol. Anything that does not point towards Christ is an idol. Praise God. We just have to receive this word with meekness, receive this truth with meekness, so that we can be saved, so that we can enter in and enjoy the eternal life that is embodied within the Son. Praise God. So the whole light that God is shining in our hearts today is simply awakening us to the fact that we are in Christ Jesus. We are one in Christ Jesus. We all originated from Christ, in Christ Jesus. And Christ Jesus is the name we use to describe the invisible, incorruptible Son of God, who has been from the foundation of the world. That is Christ Jesus. Praise God. Paul calls him the Spirit. Oh, hallelujah. Paul calls him the Spirit. If you quickly go to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 13. Now the Lord is that Spirit. Now who is the Lord? We're talking of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Christ is the Spirit. So if we are in Him, we have our origin and our, you know, our being in that spiritual body called Christ. Because Jesus Christ always went about confessing that He's not of this world. He's not of this realm. He's of a spiritual kingdom. A kingdom that men are not aware of. He's not of this material, temporal age. He's of another world. Praise God. Which is God's kingdom, where you find God's paradise and where God's presence is found. The world does not know God. The world cannot know God. Praise God. Because this realm that we live consists of nothing but idols. It's the realm of the dead. So Christ is coming to give us understanding, awakening us to the origin, where we came from, our true substance. Now, you see, it's important to note that He's coming to give us understanding of something that is already there, but we are veiled. See, the God of this world had darkened our understanding, so we did not realize that we were in Him, that we are part of a spiritual celestial body. We are a spiritual people. Praise God. But we all along we have been veiled. And we have walked in relation to things that are not. We have walked in relation to idols. Men walk in relation to idols. Praise God. The teachings of this age all, you know, cause men to bow down to idols. It causes men to live in relation to idols, things that are not. Things that are temporal, things that are passing away, things that do not, you know, reveal the truth. Praise God. Even in the realms of religion today, we discover that what people do in the realms of religion, we're talking of all the religions now, even in the realm of Christianity, is simply, you know, idol worship. Worship something that does not exist. Worship something that is formed from the imaginations of men. Praise God. This might sound offensive, but you will discover that even the Israelites of old, the Israelites whom Moses led out of the land of Egypt, never truly knew God. That which they walked in relation to was simply an invented God, an idol. Praise God. So you see, all the rituals that they followed in the laws of Moses only caused them to produce or project an idol in their mind, something that was not God. And we see that the Israelites could not bring out the perfection of God. The Israelites could never walk in alignment with God. The Israelites could never truly show forth the praises of God, because they walked in shadows, they walked in relation to idols. When Jesus Christ came on the scene to reveal the truth, you see that he was opposed by the teachers of the law. He was opposed by those who were disciples of Moses, so to say, because they failed to realize that that thing that was presented to them was a veiled version of the word of God. Jesus Christ on one occasion told them plainly, you read the scriptures, you read your laws, thinking that you can get life of them, but you cannot get nothing out of them. Those letters will only give you idols, will only cause you to behold idols. See it? Jesus told them further that if you do not know, those laws of Moses testified about me. Those laws of Moses were testifying about me. Everything that Moses did was testifying about the living one, which is Christ. But they could not receive this truth because of the hardness that was in their hearts. Praise God. Moses constructed a physical tabernacle according to precision, according to the word he received upon Mount Sinai. Why Moses constructed that was simply because Moses did not truly hear the voice of the Spirit. He was hearing the voice of God in a veiled form. That is why he created a physical tabernacle. Had Moses heard the true voice of the Spirit, he would have realized that he himself is the tabernacle of God. He would have realized that within the recesses of his being is the glory of God. He would have looked inwardly instead of outwardly. In likewise manner, all those laws concerning the sacrifices of animals, the various rituals of the Israelites, the Ten Commandments, are all pointers to Christ, to the body of Christ. Praise God. So they were veiled, not understanding that these things were simply testifying of Christ, who is the truth. So they formed idols out of those letters. See, idol worship has also entered into the church today. It has entered into the systems of men today, all over the place, where you see morality reigning and all that. They follow after letters. They follow after precepts of men. You see, they have a cooked up version of what God is. They have a cooked up version of what morality is. Praise God. Hallelujah. If anything is not revealing Christ, if anything is not unveiling the mystery of Christ to you, it's an idol. See, and when we have idols in our hearts, in our minds, idols generated out of our beliefs, these things will only produce sorrow and pain. They only produce misery for men upon the earth. Praise God. That is why we are admonished to keep away from idols. These are the idols that block those streams of living water from flowing. These are the idols that have veiled our minds so that we could not call God Father. These are idols that have veiled our minds so we couldn't comfort and enter into the presence of God and enjoy the benefits of eternal life. Praise God. So the Spirit is revealing to us today that anything that is not Christ is an idol. Praise God. When Jonah was, you know, cast into the belly of a whale and suffered horrors for 3 days in the belly of the whale, the Bible says that Jonah prayed out unto God. His eyes reached out to God from the bowels of hell. Hallelujah. Because if you look at the prayers of Jonah, you will notice that Jonah lacking that experience to the experience of hell. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. As Jonah came out of the belly of the whale, as the Lord, you know, released Noah, Jonah from the belly of the whale, Jonah made a statement, a striking statement. He says, "They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy." See, those that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercies. Praise God. In the first place, the thing that put Noah, Jonah, in the belly of the whale is the observing of vanities, idols, vanities. Observing lying vanities talks about idols. See, that which plunges men into deep sorrow, hallelujah, plunges men into the realm of death and hell, is simply their observing idols. When you look up to idols, when you form idols in your mind, and you walk in relation to idols, things that are not, you simply bring sorrow upon yourself. You forsake your mercy. You forsake the grace of the Lord Jesus, the mercy that is embedded in the Son of God. Oh, hallelujah. In the days of old, when God will appear with the clouds of glory, there was normally a voice that will herald the coming of the Lord, saying, "The Lord that keepeth mercy, showeth love and mercy to thousands that love his name and keep his commandments." Those thousands that love the name of the Lord and keep his commandments are those who are gathered in Christ. Praise God. Who is the glory of God? Oh, hallelujah. These are the ones in the cloud of God. The cloud of God represents Christ, which is the glory of God. Wherever the cloud was, God was always there present. Hallelujah. Wherever God is present, the cloud is present. See, and all about God is the thousands, innumerable spirits of men who gather in one in Christ Jesus. Who gather in one in this celestial man of light called Christ. And these are the ones that walk in the goodness, in the loving kindness, in the mercy of the Lord. These are the ones that never taste the sorrows of men. These are the ones that the Lord, according to his name, preserves in prosperity. Hallelujah. So that their soul, you know, prospers in abundance. They never taste that realm of abandonment, that realm where men live, where they, you know, sense a separation between themselves and God. Hallelujah. Hell is simply the environment, you know, that depicts separation from God, annihilation from God. If you listen to the groanings of Noah, of Jonah, see, Jonah was cut off from the land of the living. See, he was underneath bars. See, he was in a kind of prison house underneath the ground. It was a type of prison house in a pit. Hallelujah. We talks of the state of men today who live in relation to vanity. Men who live in relation, you know, to the kind of external world, or let's say men who walk according to the vanity of their minds. they find their souls trapped in the prison houses of corruption, where they cannot come forth and praise the Lord and see the beauty of God. Praise God. All men are in this, men who don't know the truth are trapped in this prison house, these dungeons, dark dungeons, in the pit of hell. See, but thank God, the Lord Jesus has come to set the prisoners free. He sets the prisoners free by applying the key of David, by giving us understanding. The key of David is the understanding the Lord is giving us today, revealing him that is truth, revealing the originality of all things, revealing Christ in you, revealing your part in Christ, so that you no longer walk in relation to vanity. You never walk, no longer walk in relation to the flesh, but after the Spirit. Oh, hallelujah. Then you rediscover yourself united among with, you know, among the multitude, innumerable company of, you know, saints gathered in one in Christ, in the body of God. Oh, hallelujah. So those who observe lying vanities forsake their mercies. Hallelujah. If you allow the lying vanities, the idols of religion, obscure your view from the vision of Christ in you, you will simply go through the pain and anguish of soul that the men of this world suffer. You forsake your mercy. You forsake your mercy in Christ Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus Christ wept when he saw the multitudes. He wept. He wept and said, oh, how I wished that you could hear. How I wish you could understand what I'm trying to give you, so that you could come under the shadow of my wings and enjoy the security and the protection of the Almighty God. But you would not. Your house is left desolate unto you. Hallelujah. On several occasions, he told the scribes and Pharisees, who were always looking out for signs in the physical, whom men who were, you know, doctrined to look after, you know, beliefs mapped to the external world. See it? He says they will have nothing but the sign of Jonah. See, which means a continual sinking into the abyss. Hallelujah. Which means they forsake their mercy unto life. They forsake their mercy to enter into the liberty of the sons of God. Praise God. Christ is that Spirit. And where the Spirit is of God is, there is liberty. And we are being gathered into that one Spirit, back into that realm, where we can be united in one with the totality. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. This is the realm God wants us to enter and maintain ourselves in the body of Christ. Hallelujah. To recognize the truth that we are in him, that is true, that we are one body. Oh, hallelujah. In Christ, there's one family, invisible family of saints, with one father, one mother. Praise God. Keep yourself from idols. Hallelujah. Don't let any entity on the earth fool you that you have families on the earth. Praise God. Don't let your families become idols in your eyes. There's only one family in the eyes of God. That's the family that is in Christ Jesus. Don't let your friends become idols in your heart, because there's only one, you know, there's only a group of friends that we know. Those are those in the body of Christ. Jesus Christ said, these are my friends. My friends are those who do the will of God. He says, my family, my brother, my sisters are those who do the will of God. Those who are in the body of Christ. Keep yourself from idols. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Don't be fooled with, you know, doctrines of men that try to map out church to something on the external, because the body of Christ is the church of God. Praise God. You attain to this place by working out your salvation within you. You attain to this fellowship in that body by, you know, uniting yourself with the truth. Casting down those high things in your mind, which are idols, your beliefs as a man, your beliefs about what you think you are, your beliefs about what your relations are upon the earth. Brethren, you receive this word. Everything you see on the natural have no meaning except you see Christ in it. Because Christ is the truth. The heavens and the earth reveal the glory of God. Your eyes have to be focused to see the glory of God in everything. You have to see only Christ in everything. Praise God. If you see any other thing, you're just looking at idols. And these things will hurt you. These things will wound you. Praise God. These things will bring sorrow upon you. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Paul, you know, the Bible says that, you know, in the last days, this was a prophecy in Ezekiel, that he's gathering his people from among the heathen. Praise God. You know, we see this in Ezekiel chapter 37. But this has, you know, these are some of the prophecies that men have misinterpreted to mean something in relation to Israel in the natural. But if you have ears here today, praise God, that the prophecies by the prophets in the Old Testament as prophecies pertaining to Christ. Praise God. They speak about Christ. They testify about Christ. They testify about our, you know, deliverance from the powers of darkness and our entrance back into the fellowship of light in Christ. The prophecies of Ezekiel, Isaiah and Jeremiah and all are about the return of Israel. It's talking about the return of you and I back into God's kingdom. We are the celestial kingdom of God. We are the heavenly Israel. We are the celestial Jews. We are the kingdom of God. We are God's people. Praise God. The Israel upon the earth is nothing but a shadow. See it. And you know, I hear Christian leaders, many people still keep making references to Israel as if something's going to happen. That nothing is happening there. See it. Quit, you know, focusing and giving all your resources out to something that does not exist. The gathering of the Israelites or the Jews from the nations, from among the heathen, is something that occurs spiritually as Christ gathers his elect from the earth. Praise God. So I'm going to go to Ezekiel chapter 37 and let us see what the Lord is saying concerning idols. Praise God. We who are being called into glory have to let go of these idols. These are the beliefs of men. See, these are the things that have attached us to a natural temporal order. We have to awake to the reality of our invisible kingdom, of our invisible selves, of our invisible fellowship in light. We must wake to this reality and let go of the fellowship we've had in the realm of men, in darkness. Hallelujah. Because these things we see in this world are coming to naught. They are constantly coming to naught. Praise God. Now these things are present and continuous. Oh, hallelujah. So let us enter into the fellowship of light and enjoy the mercy of the Lord. Let us escape, you know, the misery and the suffering and the tribulation that men or the heathen suffer. The heathen and those who walk in the vanity of their minds, who walk in relation to carnality. Praise God. So Ezekiel chapter 37 verse 21, it says, "And say unto them," that's to the Israelites, "Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen, whither they be gone, and will gather them on every side, and bring them into their own land. And I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel. And one king shall be to them all, and there shall be no more two nations. Neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms anymore at all. Neither shall they defile themselves anymore with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions. wherein they have sinned, and I will cleanse them. So they shall be my people, and I will be their God. Oh, praise God. Are you listening? This is prophetic reference to God's gathering. In the in-gathering, God's, you know, salvation as he gathers his saints into him, back into Christ, as the trumpet sounds, as the voice of truth goes forth, as revelation truth comes to quicken you from the dust and cause you to ascend back into God's kingdom, which is God's heavenly kingdom. Oh, hallelujah. So that you become one nation in Christ. No more duality. Hallelujah. No more walking in relation to good and evil. Praise God. No more two persons in us. We become one thing in Christ, in God. Oh, hallelujah. We become one thing in Christ. And Christ rules and reigns in us, so that it is Christ, no longer I, but Christ. Hallelujah. Praise God. This is the salvation God is bringing upon us today. And as he does these things, you see, he cleanses us. Amen. From all these idols. These detestable things, idols, our beliefs. See, that has caused us to, you know, linger in anger, in bitterness, you know, in hate, in injustice, and many, many ills we see in society today is because of these implanted beliefs in our hearts. See it? Beliefs about our natural selves, beliefs about our outer. Praise God. As the revelation dawns on us of our celestial, incorruptible nature in Christ, these idols begin to drop off. Praise God. The elect among the heathen are those, you know, people who are hearing the voice of God today as he's gathering his people out. It's not talking about what happened in the, you know, years ago when the United Nations came together and gathered Israel back into the land of Israel. No, that is not a fulfillment of this prophecy. This prophecy is fulfilled in us who hear the truth and are gathered into Christ's kingdom, where we can rule and reign in Christ Jesus. This is the in-gathering. Anything that is not revealing Christ in you, or that has no mapping to the reality of God's kingdom, we have to begin to drop them step by step, loosen ourselves. Paul says we should patiently loosen ourselves from these things that easily beset us and run this race with patience. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling, patiently, by allowing the light of the truth to shine and dawn in our hearts, so that the darkness fade away. Hallelujah. Like Solomon says in the Songs of Solomon, the little foxes that spoil the vine, let us get them out. These are idols, beliefs, attachments to the earth. Those who will enter into the God's kingdom are those who don't have treasure upon the earth. Hallelujah. Those who walk solely in the realms of the spirit. Because if your eye is single, your body is full of light. Praise God. So you must, all your affection must be set in the invisible. All your affection must be set on the name of the Lord in the invisible. All your affection must, or all your aim and desire must be to realize yourself in alignment with the spiritual body of Christ. Praise God. Hallelujah. As we, you know, purify ourselves from these idols and abstain from these idols and these beliefs that defile us, traditional beliefs of men, religious beliefs, see it, doctrinal, traditional church, you know, beliefs, all these things simply cause you to roam around in circles and plunge you into misery. So we must let go. Hallelujah. And recognize the truth. Christ is the truth. Hallelujah. He is the one from the beginning. Oh, hallelujah. Stand up from the dust Hallelujah. Get your place back in Christ. Loosen yourself from idols. Keep yourself from idols. Praise God. Otherwise, you will just continue to go down the pit into destruction. See, the experience of Jonah, simply a shadow of the experience of what happens to those who reject this call to life. See it. If we hold on to idols, we sink into the abyss of destruction. Praise God. It was only when Adam started to feed from the table of idols, it was only when Adam started to observe idols, see it, as he received from the serpent, which is the wisdom and, you know, the carnal facultal thinking of man, that he slid away from God's glory into the realm of death, into tribulation, thorns and thistles. You see it? Fear. See it? Anguish of soul. Praise God anyway for the revelation. Praise God for the key today. Hallelujah. Let us know the truth. Keep ourselves in the truth. Anything that is not Christ is an idol. Anything that does not have a mapping to God's kingdom is an idol. We must come to a place where we realize everything we see in the physical is a mapping to the spiritual. Everything we see in the physical is simply testifying about Christ and his kingdom. Praise God, they testify about me. Praise God, because I am the truth. Hallelujah. So keep yourself from idols, brethren, and enter in to enjoy the love of God. Life in abundance. Hallelujah. Amen.